Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. The lesson for our sermon this morning, the first lesson in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they flew. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of the one who called, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "I am doomed. I am ruined. Because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. And because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, carrying a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is the word of God. Dear friends in Christ, nearly 25 centuries ago, the tyrant king of ancient Syracuse, Hero, called one of his wise men, Simonides. And he said to his wise man, the king said, "Tell me, what is God?" The wise Simonides, the renowned poet and wise man, said back to the king, "Give me one day and I will tell you." So the king summoned him the next day and he says, "Your sin and guilt are atoned for." And that word for atoned for is literally covered over. If you're not sure what atone means, it means to put us at one with God, alluding to the sacrifice of God's Son who would come, whom Isaiah would prophesy, and Isaiah would have a lot to say about that Son to come. He would talk about one born of a virgin. He would talk about the King of Zion. He would talk about the one to gather everyone to his holy mountain, and he would talk so much it almost sounds like Isaiah knew the Gospels before they were written. And here he is with his sins taken away, burning, a sense of purifying from this live coal at the altar. Call it what you will, satisfaction, propitiation, justification, forgiveness, reconciliation. It is God's grace saying your sins are forgiven. And I don't think it's any coincidence that now that Isaiah's lips have been cleaned, have been cleansed by this live coal from the altar, cauterized, that now he can't help but sing praises and hallow God. "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says what the bravest may say, "Here I am. Send me." Now Christians, we've been singing this holy, holy, holy song ever since the 2nd century A.D. It's really a Jewish song, because, I mean, this is the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. And this is true as we approach Holy Communion, is when we sing it. Now, the pastor's not going to take a live coal with tongs and touch your lips as we approach Holy Communion. But notice in Isaiah 6, God didn't demand a sacrifice. No animals are slain. There isn't any blood or wine or grain poured out even. It's God offering it to the prophet. This is all sacramental. And instead of a burning coal, God gives you simple bread and wine to eat. There's something to pass through your lips and cleanse them, because it goes straight to the heart, because that's the Lord's body and blood reassuring you, all is gone. All sin is atoned for. All things are forgiven. What a blessed thing that God has given us. What a sacrament. Words spill out of our lips automatically, don't they? Now, you and I have not been called to a full-time ministry as a prophet, correct? Most of you. But you have been called to different stations in life, vocations. I see before me fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, students, teachers, employees, employers, neighbors, citizens, so on and so forth. What does God cleanse your lips with? Forgiveness. Isn't that the same thing you would like to share with those around you? To think that the same forgiveness that's taken away my sins can take away your sins. To think that the same thing that has taken away your sins can take away the sins of your neighbor. Automatically, to be united with God means to join a mission society. Because you treasure and know what God has done for you by grace alone so much, you just might tell somebody nearby. You might actually share it. Right, friends? Who will go for the Holy Trinity? Who will say these words? Not just holy, 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 but your sins are forgiven. Brother or sister, you don't have to be so upset by the world anymore. Brother and sister, you can be free. By faith alone, Christ atones for your sins and you're one of His own. I have a great message to tell the whole world, anyone who might possibly hear. And I do wonder, even though holy, holy, holy doesn't prove the Trinity, how not to think about Holy Father who sent out of His incredible love His own Son and has taken care of the world that He should have destroyed. And Holy Son has died for our sins and taken them to the cross where we should have died. And the Holy Spirit, who should have ignored us and dulled our hearts even more, has opened up the hearts of believers. I wonder sometimes if holy, holy, holy isn't simply the angels rejoicing when one sinner repents. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am going to ask you, instead of the insert, which you cannot find in your bulletin, to open your hymnals, which are really untouched, to page 132 in the front, after the Psalms, and take 3, maybe 4 minutes with me. It's not a lot. It's not a long time. And confess our faith using the words of the Athanasian Creed. That's page 132 and 133. You say it with me? Whoever wishes to be saved must, above all else, hold to the true Christian faith. Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever. Now this is the true Christian faith. We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being. For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct. But the deity of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated and one who is infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty, yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet they are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord. For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord, so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And within this Trinity, none comes before or after. None is greater or inferior, but all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons. Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one. One, not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. One indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. You may be seated for the offering. I invite you to stand for prayer. Triune God, you are the one eternal God, whose name we praise forever. We could not have known you, our only Savior, if you had not revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons, yet one God. Remove from us all unbelief and grant us humble faith as we contemplate this high and holy mystery. Scatter all those who are wise in their own conceits and give us a simple, childlike trust to worship you as Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, on this day we pause to remember the sacrifices made for freedom throughout the past centuries. We do indeed owe a debt of gratitude to those who have paid dearly for the liberty we enjoy. Yet, O Lord, I know that good government, peace, and freedom are really gifts granted from your fatherly hand, as we confess in the first article of the Creed. As we remember those who have served our nation, help us to remember that civic duty, no matter how well done, does not grant entrance into your kingdom. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, apart from our works. Freed from the law's demands, I know that I am now free to serve my neighbor for my neighbor's sake. May the sacrifices of those who have gone before us serve as examples. When we meet those who have served, remind us to thank them. Almighty God, guide the leaders of our nation. Watch over those who serve in our armed forces, especially those far from home. And above all, grant that we, your children by faith in Christ, may find a field of service in which we, as salt and leaven, may uphold righteousness, order, and peace in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, you provided your called minister through the divine call extended by the church. As St. Paul teaches, Christ ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up. You brought George and Ann Furch to faithful service and continued their membership among us now for some time. Now we ask your blessing on their house and home in Wisconsin, and safe travels, that you would grant them peace through transition and closeness to their daughter and her family. Build up the Furch family in faith, no matter where they call their earthly home, and renew each of us with gospel hearts to tell of Jesus as faithfully as this dear couple. We ask all these things, as well as the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he empowered his church to be witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory. You are my God, and I will exalt you. I will give you thanks, for you have become my salvation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Seated. We'll sing "Soul, Adorn Yourself with Gladness" during Holy Communion. As always, we'll begin with the far left section, working our way back, then the next section from left to right. No lines, no rush. Those who are confirmed in the faith and properly prepared are welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take also and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. And now may this true body and true blood strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. And he says your sin and guilt are atoned for. And that word for atoned for is literally covered over. If you're not sure what atone means, it means to put us at one with God. Alluding to the sacrifice of God's Son who would come, whom Isaiah would prophesy. And Isaiah would have a lot to say about that Son to come. He would talk about one born of a virgin. He would talk about the King of Zion. He would talk about the one to gather everyone to his holy mountain. And he would talk so much it almost sounds like Isaiah knew the Gospels before they were written. And here he is with his sins taken away, burning. A sense of purifying from this live coal at the altar. Call it what you will. Satisfaction, propitiation, justification, forgiveness, reconciliation. It is God's grace saying your sins are forgiven. And I don't think it's any coincidence that now that Isaiah's lips have been cleaned, have been cleansed by this live coal from the altar, cauterized, that now he can't help but sing praises and hallow God. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says what the bravest may say, "Here I am. Send me." Now, Christians, we've been singing this holy, holy, holy song ever since the 2nd century A.D. It's really a Jewish song because, I mean, this is the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. And this is true as we approach Holy Communion is when we sing it. Now, the pastor's not going to take a live coal with tongs and touch your lips as we approach Holy Communion. But But notice in Isaiah 6, God didn't demand a sacrifice. No animals are slain. There isn't any blood or wine or grain poured out even. It's God offering it to the prophet. This is all sacramental. And instead of a burning coal, God gives you simple bread and wine to eat. Something to pass through your lips and cleanse them, because it goes straight to the heart, because that's the Lord's body and blood reassuring you, all is gone. All sin is atoned for. All things are forgiven. What a blessed thing that God has given us. What a sacrament. Words spill out of our lips automatically, don't they? Now, you and I have not been called to a full-time ministry as a prophet, correct? Most of you. But you have been called to different stations in life, vocations. I see before me fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, students, teachers, employees, employers, neighbors, citizens, so on and so forth. What does God cleanse your lips with? Forgiveness. Isn't that the same thing you would like to share with those around you? To think that the same forgiveness that's taken away my sins can take away your sins. To think that the same thing that has taken away your sins can take away the sins of your neighbor. Automatically, to be united with God means to join a mission society. Because you treasure and know what God has done for you by grace alone so much, you just might tell somebody nearby. You might actually share it. Right, friends? Who will go for the Holy Trinity? Who will say these words? Not just holy, 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 but your sins are forgiven. Brother or sister, you don't have to be so upset by the world anymore. Brother and sister, you can be free. By faith alone, Christ atones for your sins and you're one of His own. I have a great message to tell the whole world, anyone who might possibly hear. And I do wonder, even though holy, holy, holy doesn't prove the Trinity, how not to think about Holy Father who sent out of His incredible love His own Son and has taken care of the world that He should have destroyed. And Holy Son has died for our sins and taken them to the cross where we should have died. And the Holy Spirit, who should have ignored us and dulled our hearts even more, has opened up the hearts of believers. I wonder sometimes if holy, holy, holy isn't simply the angels rejoicing when one sinner repents. In Jesus' name, amen.